Hi, my name's Sean Shaler. That's my friend Chris Ford, a.k.a. the Objective Geek. Finger guns! Pow, pow! And welcome to Avatar, The Last Podcasters. We hope you had either a happy Thanksgiving or just a good Thursday. Whatever you're into, that's cool. And today we're going to talk about... Chris, I'm really glad you said that. It's just one of those topics that I think gets people fired up, and I think it's a lot of fun. Today we're going to talk about the top five, each of our independent lists, we'll snake back and forth, top five most overrated characters. And I'm going to say in the Avatar universe, but I should have clarified with you in advance, I didn't do anybody from the books in this week's list or next week's list because more people need to read the books. So mine was just ultimately became Korra or Avatar.
I kind of focused on Korra and Avatar also. Probably because, like, the main... Like, first off, thinking, like, all right.
Throw your mic back down by your... There you go.
First, I was like, maybe Jeonju and stuff, but...
I mean, he's a great villain. He could be underrated just because people need to read the book. You know what I mean?
The thing about, like, overrating, underrating is that there's usually a conversation around them, and there's just not enough conversation around the books to be like, people are wrong or people are something about that. It's like, no, just hey, the books are underrated in general. Go read the books. They're freaking fantastic. They're freaking fantastic, especially the Kyoshi novels. Mm-hmm. That first one.
So first two, yeah, those first two hit hard. In the best way. But yeah, so I deliberated, and I didn't include anybody. I was like, they're all underrated, except for maybe the Roku one, I guess. I don't know. But they...
I didn't want to be mean, Shaw.
I didn't, and for what it's worth...
Why did I mean this?
For what it's worth, I like Roku as a character slightly more after that novel. Slightly. Not a ton, but slightly more. Like, the novel... I wouldn't say it achieved its purpose, but I came away with a little more appreciation for him as a character.
It's funny how I always talk about delusion, how delusion gets in my head, but I know it's delusion. So in my delusional head, again, heavy, heavy delusion. I'm like, oh, you know, what if, like, you know, we write this Kitsune book and, like, Brandi Rabe, the writer of the Roku novel,
right?
Yeah. What if he's like writing a Zetto one coming up? Because they did announce that he's going to do like two more. But then they find out that, oh, there's already this fan comic. Like, maybe they can blitz some elements. And then he wants to ask me about the opinion on his book. And I'll be like, I think it's not bad. I will be like, you know what? It's not your fault. It's just like, I didn't need a Roku book.
You chose a bad like slice.
Yeah. Like, I would have... Like, because to me, the Roku book... I have a feeling maybe he was like, you know what? Maybe he was directed at Roku. Because...
That's easy to imagine.
I think Roku's probably the... You know, after Kyoshi, probably the most recognizable avatar that doesn't have a show. So they were like, hey, go do Roku. And he's like, yeah, sure, I'll go do a book on Roku. And, like, in my head, I'm like, I don't need some revisionist history about how him and Fire Lord Sozin were friends and what happened and stuff. Like, he was friends with Hitler. Like, that's, I don't need to know any more about that relationship.
I think it informs his character, like, but I'd have been fine without it.
Yeah. For what it's worth, I like the way he wrote Gyatso. I like the new character he wrote, Malaya?
We never did decide, because we've never heard it. It's not our fault.
Yeah, I really liked her character. The stuff with the, like, sage guy who was running the island, I didn't really care for
him. The villain was... It was like it was an interesting idea, but I had trouble maybe picturing some of it in my head.
I had which absolutely could be a reading trouble comprehension. Picturing. And you're absolutely right. But I, like you, I had trouble following, like, just visualizing, okay, they're in a cave? there's a bunch of spirit stuff happening, and yeah, but anyway.
Whereas Kiyoshi, the first time I read the main crux of the first Kiyoshi novel, I did have to read it twice, but that's because there was just, I was trying to like grasp all the things going on. I was like, wait a minute, did she just get lightning bit? Wait a minute, how did she live? But, so I did, but it was from a...
See, that's good. That's like good writing when something happens and you as the audience member is asking questions like, wait, what's... You're not necessarily missing any of the pieces to the puzzle.
I'm double checking though. I'm going back and looking for like, yeah. Wait, I got to see this. What this? How did she get out of this lightning? How did she not die? Etc. No, it's the night and day difference of I reread it because I was seeking more detail versus I reread it because I'm like, am I missing something? And then I wasn't. I'm like, all right. But anyway, yeah, Mr. Riley. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you need ideas, you know, I know a guy. And listen, I know he can be hard to get a hold of because he, you know, he doesn't live here, but he is at Planet Comic Con every year. He's got his own panel. You can reach out to him there. It's Planet Comic Con panel application. Is that the right word? Time also, which is fun.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I thought I'm always like not sure of the time. And so I just saw that message from Dan and I was like, oh crap. Did I forget? Cause it's always like November, December. I'm like, oh crap. Did I forget to submit it? So I went straight to, I didn't even read the headline of like submissions have opened up. Like, I just went straight. I didn't, in my head, I thought I was running late for it. And so I went and submitted it quickly. And I was like, oh, today was the first day that submissions opened up. I am early. I am not late.
You look very enthusiastic. Chris, I'm definitely going to buy. I'll talk more about magic next week because I want to. I'm definitely going to have at least, like, we got to have one Avatar Magic prize for sure. I tried to get a hold of today. But it sold out. I mean, also, I say it sold out. It was like on sale for $23 as opposed to its usual $33 or whatever, you know. But it sold out, so I didn't. But I'm going to keep my eyes out because, like, magic and Avatar at Planet Comic Con is like the perfect marriage.
No, I think I still have all my wrappers from before that I just threw down here to the light. Honestly, I'm going to go to Vintage Stock and buy, like, maybe like 8 of these as for door prizes. So these are $5.99 at Vintage Stock.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I think since we opened our stuff, I bought a, what did I buy? What's it called? A booster box, the one with Ozai on it. So I also bought one of those just to open more because now
you
I have a
that
clear
whole
vision.
Box?
The booster box is like 80 or 70, 70 or 80.
You're spending some money.
I love card games, always have. And I really have been like mooching a deck off like when I play with Ian and our other friends. I use one of the other friends' same deck over and over again, and I always think, Sean, this is stupid. You like this card game? Just make a deck. I like making decks. That's like my favorite part. And so, I don't know, just hearing Avatar, like having Avatar be announced as property, like, yeah, I'm all in, and I'll talk more about that next week. I don't want to derail too much now, because there's news today.
Yes, news. Let me bring it up. Pretty interesting news. Pretty cool. Let me read it. It is about a new graphic novel coming out from Avatar Studios. And that name, Avatar Studios, is so all-encompassing that it's just like everything. And it's kind of, I wouldn't say annoying. anyway, there's a new anthology comic book coming out, which I'm really excited for, because I've been kind of asking for like some type of anthology series. Really, I would love to have a new anthology animated series, but hey, I'll take whatever. It is called, I'm pulling it up, Avatar Legends, Masters of the Elements. That's a good title. The synopsis for, one thing, the cover of it, I think is pretty freaking great, honestly. I don't know if Sean pulled the cover, but here is like the.
Oh, yeah, it looks great.
Yeah. At first, I was mad because I was like, Korra should be in front because they should be going in order. And then I realized they weren't going in real order because they didn't leave Quirk in there, because Quirk goes between Yang Chan and Kyoshi. And I realized that this...
So defensive, Chris. So defensive.
I know. But I realized that they weren't going for the order of the avatars because, like I said, Quirk isn't in it. And so, like, all right, you guys just did the order of, like, the most popular avatars, probably.
That's ridiculous. Speaking of Roku, Kyoshi would be up front.
They have a young Roku in this picture. I think he looks actually pretty cool. This is probably the coolest Roku has ever looked. Got the hair flowing and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, good locks there. Absolutely. Well, because we only ever see ancient Roku. It's no fun.
Yeah.
But so, it looks great.
All right. This comes to us from Nerdist. The official description of Avatar Legends Master of the Elements. The new Avatar-centric graphic novel collection shares in full. The first volume of Avatar Legends Master of the Elements collects short stories from beyond the confines of a single Avatar cycle. Tales from Avatars Korra, Aang... Hey, Korra got the first name there. Usually, I'd be like... No, sorry. Tales from Avatars Korra, Aang, Roku, Kyoshi, and Yang Chen are rendered in exciting detail by comics masters, from the Western Air Temple to the ramen houses of the Fire Nation and everywhere in between. These stories bring a new dose of Avatar adventures to your bookshelves. And they listed like a couple different creators around it. Most of them I am not familiar with. But there was something from Nerdist that I read that I think shed a little bit more light on it. What was it? Stories of avatars from across the ages will come together at last in Avatar Legends. It says the anthology graphic novel will bring the epic journeys of different avatars throughout time and help us learn more about the lore and history of the world we love so much. Avatars Yang Chan, Kyoshi, Roku, Aang, and Korra will see both new and previously published stories enter the new Avatar graphic novel from Dark Horse Comics. So that makes me think they might take some elements from the novels or other areas that have been maybe hinted at and put it into the graphic novel. Short stories make me think that, honestly, they'll probably be like 10 pages each.
So, like, almost like an issue piece, give or take?
No, not even an issue, because, so when they said the pricing for it, they said it comes out, I didn't mention this, comes out July 14th, 2026. Let's see if they actually hold to that. They're not good at holding published dates.
nor is anybody right now, I suppose.
True. It's now available for pre-order from Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Boy, how long is Barnes & Noble? And your local comic shop and bookstores for $13.99. So that $13.99 price point makes me think that it's going to be probably the size of the core graphic novel Patterns in Time, which wasn't huge. It was probably like this thick. Wasn't a big graphic novel.
I like the subject matter. I'm always excited to dig farther into avatars. As always, I would always say, like, hey, let's dig backwards farther, dig up some new ones. But this is probably not the right venue for that. Like, okay, that's
first,
fine.
The first one, maybe, and I get from this that this is like the first of many of these avatar. Legends, Master of the Elements. Because it says the first volume. And so I'm guessing it'll be second volume. Hopefully in those later volumes, they dive into, like, avatars from hundreds and... Well, an avatar from hundreds of years ago is just Roku. An avatar from thousands of years ago and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, and Lisa, I don't know if this is the best venue to, like, introduce an avatar either. But, just like Star Wars. You know, there's a big universe out there. Let's explore it.
Yeah.
But no, it's exciting, or at least, especially for me, I don't delve into the comics really, but this would at least have my interest as sort of meaningful, is too derogatory to the existing comics, but like just like substantial story content as opposed to maybe kind of ancillary feeling. Yeah. Stuff.
I mean, honestly, some of the comics have been like fairly non-meaningful.
Very menial, non-meaningful. But that's cool. Chris, only not really related to anything. Do you think Netflix, Warner Brothers asset acquisition will have any impact on anything Avatar?
No. The live action show, they've already filmed season 3 and it's already done. So they filmed season 2 and 3 back to back. And I doubt they will ever get into Korra. If there's ever a Korra live action, Paramount will probably do it, unless Avatar really blows up and Netflix is like, hey, let me keep doing this. But Netflix and Paramount, I can see them not working as much closely together as they have in the past, just because of each of theirs competing bids at Warner Bros. I mean, they'll probably be water under bridge in a while. It's like, oh, too bad. I only got $50 billion instead of whatever $1 billion. Shut up.
All of you shut up, honestly. Every streaming service.
One thing, I don't like any consolidation at all. All this consolidation. There are two things I'm worried about in the future, is consolidation and AI. And those are, cause, like, competition is great. Like, we used to have a bunch of movie studios, and sure, they came out with some crappy movies, but they competed. But no one complained.
Crappy movies, you know, they all did.
Yeah. But it's like, from all the different, if I'm glad that Paramount didn't get it, because maybe selfishly there's some political reasons there, but I think valid political concerns about Paramount getting it. But I'm especially glad Paramount didn't get it, because like, that takes away another movie studio. Like, Paramount is a big movie studio. Warner Bros. Is the second biggest movie studio. Like, there used to be like 10 movie studios. Now there's like 5. That would have made 4. At least Netflix isn't like a movie studio. They don't come out with movies in theaters and stuff. But they said they'll keep doing that with Warner Bros. So I'm glad from that aspect of it. From the streaming side of it, yeah, Netflix is taking over HBO Max. But I'm less concerned about streaming for some reason than I am movie studios monopolization. Probably because Netflix already has a monopoly. Like, Netflix is the, everyone has, you know, like, Netflix is the best and biggest streamer. Streaming is already like,
they're still the biggest.
They are.
Just
it's not even close. Right?
Assumed that the combination of like Disney and ESPN, if you keep those under the same bucket that they were. But it's funny, in this house, I think we've talked about it before, Hulu is a garbage service, like the software. But we watch it the most by far because it has like the animated series that I like the best, or comedy series, and all of Heather's like crime shows and things like that. So we find ourselves watching Hulu more than anything, but their prices are going up. That's like the one that we do have, and their prices are going up enough that we're going to drop that too. Like, yeah, I'm not doing that nonsense. But
yeah.
That was interesting. And to your point, competition is probably more important than people give it credit for. And we're not a tech podcast. We don't pretend to be techie people. But like yesterday, the people that make crucial RAM, so memory, are just like, all right, we're done making RAM. We're just going to do AI data centers now. And that's like, surely they're a top 3 RAM maker.
AI is going to run into, like, AI takes energy to do. Like, it takes water to cool.
A ton of energy.
Like, I mean, the government, you know, depending on who's I'm getting too political in this conversation. But the government may eventually be like, hey, guys, this is a lot of water we're using just so people can, like, do so slightly better. And also, it's taking jobs anyway. We're kind of killing ourselves in two different ways. Like, why?
But, and people talk about, you know, if there's lots of expansion in that area right now, and eventually the bubble burst, and what's left is hopefully good or whatever. It's like, all right, when that bubble bursts, I still need somebody to be the number three or whatever RAM provider so that the next computer I buy doesn't cost $8,000. The bubble bursting doesn't make consumer technology more affordable in the interim, and it was already kind of, GPUs were already bad because of crypto. They've already been bad for a while, and now memory and eventually storage and et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, it's kind of gross.
Yeah. So yeah, Netflix has 230. How old am I? Stream service times. Okay. Netflix has this is according to, I don't know what time this comes from. Netflix has 232 million subscribers. Disney Plus 160 million. HBO Max 97 million. There's a lot actually to be taken out.
Yeah.
Paramount 60 million, Hulu, but Hulu's part of Disney Plus.
ESPN and Disney together just because Disney owns them. Funnily enough, I wasn't going to count Hulu in that bucket because somebody, I know they pair together, but somebody else owns Hulu, right?
Disney
owns Hulu?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I think you should bump them all three together, and I would say that's a bigger entity than Netflix.
When they bought Fox, all the three, ABC, CBS, and NBC all own, like, little parts of Hulu. And then, because ABC is owned by Disney bought Fox, which then meant Disney got Fox's share of Hulu. And then at that point, CBS was like, why do we have this? Disney owns Hulu.
And what's CBS under? Is that Paramount?
Paramount.
They have their own. They are Paramount. Interesting. Yes. Gross. Interesting. Here's my recommendation to everybody. Go read a book. That's coming from me. Go to your library and read a book.
I would like Apple. Like I mentioned, I would like Apple to get it because Apple doesn't. To me, that would have been like very, very competition friendly because Apple is not a big studio. Their app is somewhat popular, but they don't have any IP at all.
Apple 3 and 1 fake season of Ted Lasso count really.
Yeah, Ted Lasso is their biggest IP.
And when's the last season that would come out? 2022. What's that, babe? 23?
Yeah. I'm not an Apple person. I am avidly against Apple all the time.
I am. So it's really hard for Apple me to put on.
Being like,
it's really hard for me to put on a hat that's like, Apple should have done this. And it's like, Apple should have burned in hell. No, don't. I'm kidding. Phones need competition also. But, anyway. Chris, let's talk about something else controversial. Overrated characters and why your favorite characters suck. And this is...
I'm not suck. Just think overrated. Of all these characters I'm about to name, very much.
I mostly like the characters on my list to a degree, yes. Mostly. But we'll snake back and forth. Chris, I'll go first on the odds this week, and you can go first on the odds next week. That sound all right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, overrated, subjective, sure. As Chris mentioned earlier, I would expect that we're saying this because there's an existing conversation around these people, and we believe that there's too much of that conversation and or that too much of it is positive. And that's what our overrated is. So my number five is Eska and Desna. And I'm going to pair them together. But if you had to pick one, I'd pick the girl. I still can't remember which one the girl is. But Eska and Desna, they're not really plot pertinent. really minor ways, and it feels like they're kind of shoved in there to try to be comic relief in a dark feeling season, dark feeling scenario. And it's like, I appreciate the idea, but it doesn't all hit for me, and they're not plot meaningful. So that's my number five.
Yeah, they're not on either one of my lists. I think within like fandom and how they're treating us, so they're probably like appropriately rated. But yeah, okay.
I think it's the girl one, and she plays in Parks and Rec and all the other stuff. And I think people like her enough.
Yeah, Aubrey Plaza. Oh, okay. I guess, yeah.
Right, but
yeah, Aubrey Plaza is so freaking talented, and I'm just making your argument.
No, she's very funny, and I generally do like most of her work, and they're fine here. I have that. That's why they're number five.
You know what performance of hers I think is so underrated?
Her interviews on late night television. Oh, I'm sorry. What?
Oh yeah, that's great too. Her in the show Legion, she plays this like. She's just really good in that show. That show's about Professor Charles Xavier's lost son, who is like almost a, he has psychic powers also, but he's also like a schizophrenic. Not schizophrenic, maybe schizophrenic. Yeah. He also might have multiple personalities just to deal with the mutant powers of being Charles Xavier's lost son.
Yeah, that's going to have some effects on a person for sure.
Yeah. My number five overrated. You know, making the overrated list was harder. And honestly, this list is probably pretty fluid. But right now...
I had more fun making the overrated list. Whereas underrated, I felt more thoughtful about. I felt more considerate.
Could a person be on both lists? I think so. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I believe in you.
But now when I say, whatever, number five. Overrated. Azula. The thing is, I love Azula. I love her character arc. Wouldn't she love her character herself. Wouldn't change a thing about her. It's just like people are like, oh, she's more powerful than Fire Lord. I'm like, she's not. I think that's the only thing about it, I think, is just people power scale her higher than the Fire Lord, like in the show itself, like even it's like, yeah, she's, I think her power is overrated.
If people are talking about her, who if they haven't watched enough Korra and to appreciate the good Korra villainy, you know, that's a little frustrating also.
Yeah, I love Azula, by the way. Love Grey De Lisle. She does a great job voicing her. And I'm going to contradict the crap out of myself. Just the sense of people being like, she was a bigger threat than Ozai. And I'll be like, no, Ozai's written as the big bad. Like, like, Azula is afraid of Ozai. Like, sure, we didn't see Ozai do, we only seen Ozai fight Aang, but that's because he doesn't mess around with the petty crap. Like, he's only the big bad. You don't fight the big boss midway through the temple. Mm-hmm. Or fight the mini boss.
Yeah, and what would that fight with Aang and Azula even have looked like? It's like, no, nothing the same, not near as cool, nothing.
Yeah. And they fought plenty of times. Yeah.
Chris, you're number four.
My number four is the Cabbage Guy. Cabbage Guy is, we've had this conversation before. He's so overrated. It's a good joke, but like this guy has, and I'm guilty because I buy the product. He has his own pop. He has his own book. It's almost become like, you know, people. I think the Avatar podcast, Braving the Elements, likes to call their fans cabbage heads. I'm like, this is just one little joke in the show. Like, it's. I'm just not as big of a fan of the Cabbage Guy. I like him, but there are better, I think, one-off jokes, and we'll get to that later. I think we've had this conversation before.
Well, there's also better vegetables, if we're being honest. Chris, cabbage is nasty, and I don't care what anybody says. It's cabbage.
I mean, that's almost part of the joke. Maybe that's part of the joke.
Maybe
he's
not
the carrot guy. Carrots, yeah, I'll give him some credit. That might be, like what were they thinking when they were like, all right, let's pick the vegetable. Like, carrots.
We've got it down to cabbages or Brussels sprouts or arugula. Which of those would get knocked off a cart the best?
Honestly, cabbages probably is the best. Like, when you run in, I think what it was is like, hey, we need them to run into some type of cart. Okay, make your fruit. And the fruit that does the best, like, gives you probably the best splash the stuff best is probably explosion. Cabbage.
And it probably rolls. I don't know why lettuce around a little bit.
I don't know why lettuce wouldn't be there, but
I think maybe is softer. Cabbage is more rigid, so it's going to have a better roll to it. I'm just making up vegetable facts now. Science of fish. It's gross. Chris, my number four is Jet. And wanted to rank him higher, but the bottom line is that I do like the role that he plays in the show. It is an important role. He's a pivotal part of a couple different storylines. I just don't like how much people is like, oh, he's so cool. It's like, no, he's a jackass. He's not a good person. But he plays a really pivotal role in the show, so I'm going to cut him some slack and leave him at my number four. But that brings me to my number three, which I have as the cabbage merchant. Ditto to all the things that you said. Yes, again, nothing fine, nothing wrong with the joke. I'll even defend the cabbage guys. I was like, I get it. It's funny. It's or like, what do you call it when a joke kind of repeats, like the comeback, the recurrence?
A reoccurring joke.
Yeah. I feel like there's a specific name for it, but he's fine. But he gets, like, even in Magic, he's getting, like, kind of too much
love
to it. I do believe, well, we'll talk about that later.
He has his own freaking packet. Like, this,
he's
not
in the marketing.
Serious.
Yeah, he's in the marketing on Magic the Gathering Arena. And just little things like that. It's like, is that really what people remember? So that's why he's my number three. It's this time he's gone too far.
All right, my number three is, my number three is Hama. I mean, shout out to Hama, you know.
Really?
She was, I feel like a lot of this is a sense of, I feel like a lot of my overrated is might be just a sense of power. Like, anytime people get into, like, conversation about, like, oh, what bender and stuff would win, and I'm like, Hama would not beat these people. She has to wait for, she has to be lucky enough that she's fighting them on a full moon.
She's like,
and I mean, she's still a good bender. She can still like pull water out of the air and stuff. She's still a great bender, but that's her shtick. It's like, hey, just waiting. She would have killed it last night. Last night there was a great full moon. Yeah, I walked out. I was like, oh,
murdered a whole family with nothing. You know what I mean? Just
I took a picture of it. It was a super moon. I wonder if it's a super moon. If it's like, oh, my bending's even better. My bending's 10% better.
I wonder if the moon, when it's a super moon, if the moon hears all this appreciation with, oh, they think I'm what? That's so nice.
I learned that, you know how, like, the moon looks bigger when it's, like, closer to the horizon? Apparently, that's just an optical illusion. Like, and I always wonder, like, why does the moon look so huge right now? I heard it from Neil deGrasse Tyson.
It's to do with, like, if you're looking at a concave or convex lens, I forget which one is which, you look at something head on, it has one shape because the atmosphere is that lens, right? But since you're looking at the atmosphere, you're kind of looking at it here, and it's like it bends how it appears.
Yeah. No.
Which I probably heard from Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yeah, very likely. Smart guy, that guy. Smart guy.
My number two, right?
Mm-hmm.
My number two. The stuff. is number two here. Again, I love these characters. And saying that is no more demonstrated by me saying this character, because my number two is Iroh. I love Iroh. Said it before. He is my favorite character in the whole
universe. We've dedicated entire episodes to the man. Chris, we're part of the problem. But, that's what it is.
But he is overrated in so many ways. Just following the Avatar YouTube channel, like, they'll always put Iroh in like polls, and he always wins. It doesn't matter. Like, I'll be like, Iroh shouldn't have won this poll. Mm-hmm. Oh, there was this. I saw this Facebook group, this Facebook anime group, right? And they were doing like, here's a tournament poll for like the kindest characters, Iroh won the whole thing of the kindest characters, and the characters that were well, you don't know any characters, you don't know anime, but we're like
yeah, it's funny. One of the characters who recommend again. Really depressing anime to me, so I stopped paying attention.
Vinland Saga is depressing. Have you started watching any Vinland Saga?
Oh no, I don't even know what it's on. But you got my interest well enough for whatever that's worth.
It's on Netflix and also Crunchyroll. Yeah, if you don't have it.
It's funny. I have Geo's Crunchyroll, but I haven't had Netflix in ages.
Yeah, I thought you used something else.
Nope, I've got Geo's Crunchyroll.
Yeah, but Tanjiro Kamado from Demon Slayer is one of the nicest people ever. Like he kills demons, but he empathizes with them before they get killed. In a world where everyone's just like, just gotta kill demons. Like, when a demon is dying, he'll pick them up and like almost look into their soul and be like, oh, I see you were just led down a bad path when you were a human. Like, that could have been me. Like, go in peace.
What a great quality to have. It's the concept of like, I have to kill animals to eat the food, but I want to respect their life and use all the parts, right?
And there was this scene in one of the movies where this character could like make people fall asleep and then go into their dreams and like stab their soul in their dreams. But like when they get to that, like they got to go through their dreams and then find that person's like subconscious, and each person has a different, their subconsciouses look different, right? Like they all look like the fire wielder, his subconscious had like a bunch of fire and stuff. And then this person goes into Tanjiro's subconscious, and it's just like pure bliss. It's just like, and even that guy is like, his soul. This person who's seen like so many people's souls is like, his soul is like so peaceful and quaint. Like there's, I don't think there's a pure person ever that I've ever come across. And it's like, that person is a better person than Iroh. Like, Iroh, yes, is a kind person now, but Iroh's past is so freaking bad. Like, you can't just overlook that and be like, oh, he's the kindest person. Like, no, I think we're doing a kindest person competition of some of the most kindest people in all of anime. Iroh should not even get him in the first round and then get him out. But there are other more kinder people than Iroh, because you got to take everything into accountability. Like, there's some person in the Earth Kingdom right now who's like an orphan because of Iroh.
What if you just narrow it up to like last 10 years, Iroh? You know, but then maybe even last then, 5 years. Yeah,
even then I'll be like, okay, is he? He's just still not as kind as those other characters. But
it's not a hot take in this chat, but it's a hot take. I like it. It's spicy.
And then when it comes to like powers and stuff, people are like, oh, Iroh could have beat Ozai. And I'm like, it would have been a good fight, but Ozai probably would have, I'm pretty sure Ozai won. Even Iroh was like, I don't think Iroh was being humble when he said, like, I don't think I can beat him. I think he was being, like, truthful, like, and humble, but being like, yeah, I don't think I can beat him.
Well, I think it's a great take that, like, outside of this chat's probably a hot take, but I hear you, man. I hope in next week's chat, I have one that I'm excited to discuss with you that's related in next week's episode. Was that your number two?
Yes, that was my number two.
My number two is May. I don't like the Zuko ship. I'm not buying their love for each other. Even if the line delivery is good with the, like, I guess I, you know, love Zuko more than I fear. Some corny high school.
You miscalculated.
Crap.
I love Zuko more than I fear you. That's such a great freaking line.
It would be a greater line.
You should have feared me more. And that's such an even better rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I'm like,
it
no,
is.
You miscalculated. Okay. You should have feared me more.
Rebuttal is better delivered than the line because I buy the rebuttal. I believe the rebuttal's like, yeah, you probably should have. You should have done that because I'm not buying that you really like Zuko that much. I think, I complained before. I don't buy into her skills or her utility, and the ship doesn't do it for me. So when people, it's weird that like when people are shipping a ship that exists in the show, and I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do that. But Sean, it's here. It's on. Nope, it's bad. And that's my. That's my number two. And then my number one is...
But we're doing...
You're
doing honorable mention.
I was going to do honorable mentions after one, but we can do it before one.
Oh, were we? Okay.
Yeah.
Bad, okay.
My number one is Mako. And I think, Chris, in this show, we both view Mako as a tremendous bender, and I think we both really like the character that he becomes, but he's got just like a choppy path, and there's some parts of it that I consider kind of hard sells about how he got from point A to point B. He's not the most likable. His role in the love triangle was a little weird. He's a great bender, but I think, and some of this is tough because of so many people watching Avatar but not Korra or not caring about Korra as much or talking about Korra as much. But there seems to be a pretty like pervasive liking maybe of Mako, and I like him. I like him quite a bit. I just Bolin's a lot more enjoyable character with like a better, more interesting path other than season two Bolin sucks for sure. But anyway, like you've said, love Mako. I think he's just the least interesting member of Team Korra. By a decent bit.
Interesting. I like this conversation because we
took it different ways, which is good.
Yeah.
Great bender, Mako.
My number one. This is going to possibly lose me some people. Again, love this character. Sean, would you like to guess my number one most overrated character?
I mean, I think it's either...
If you want to ask me a question...
I think it's either Aang or Zuko.
Okay, neither one. All right, that's...
It's neither. I was going strictly off of, like, the idea of what could you say that you felt would really be
amazing. Hey, Aang's not on my list. I do think... that wasn't purposely done just so I can beat the bias charges. But I think Aang is starting to get a little bit more criticism in the fandom a little bit here and there. And so I didn't have him. I mean, I do think he's overrated in some aspects, especially in the fighting aspects.
I would like to think that new viewers to the show don't have the nostalgic ties to Aang, and that should create a more balanced conversation.
Yeah. My number one overrated character. It's going to hurt. is Toph Beifong. She's a great character, absolutely great. Wouldn't change a single thing about Toph. This probably comes down to more so of people, I think, overhyping her fighting ability of like, oh, Toph would have faced Ozai, she would have won. Oh, Toph did this, Toph could do that. Toph's the most, she could beat so-and-so. And I think a lot of that is based off how great she has been received and how many people love her character. Rightfully so. Toph is such a good character. She was such a great addition to the show. But like, she is an absolute fan favorite. And I'm like, there's better characters. But she's great. She's great. She's absolutely great. Like I said, I wouldn't change a single freaking thing about Toph at all. She's a really great character.
I think people probably get a little carried away with the bending prowess. That's where my overratedness would stop. But I think that generates a lot of that sort of you used a phrase like the sort of disproportionate fan shipping, not fan shipping, fan shipping.
Yeah.
And I see that disproportion as well. I don't know if I agree, but I get your point completely. She gets her power, her bending prowess, being probably in the larger world of anime too, right? Like in this Toph from this show versus X from that show.
Toph versus Magneto. Like, gosh, you guys can pick up a freaking comic book. Like, or just watch a movie. She's not touching Magneto.
You'll never make me read. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that making fun of other people. I'm saying that.
Yeah, one thing I hate most. Batman. It sounds weird, but Batman is either becoming underrated or just really misunderstood. There's a take, Sean, that I vehemently hate about Batman. There's a couple different takes from people who claim to be bougie and enlightened people. Like, oh, if Batman was really actually, we've talked about this before. Never mind. If Batman was really wanting to do some good, he'll invest in stuff like healthcare and give money to people. Like, he does all those things, you idiot. Like, one thing, pick up a comic book. He does all those things. There's this thing called the Wayne Foundation. It's used for all these different things.
Name the next biggest foundation in Gotham, you clown.
Yeah. And also, if he... And there's other dumb things of like, oh, he should have killed the Joker. One thing, if we even take away the no killer rule thing, it's called a fictional story. If we killed the character when he was first created, there's no more Joker. There's no more story. Like, these are stories. One thing to defend Toph real quick. One thing people hate, and maybe I'm just defending Legend of Korra. One thing people are like, Toph wouldn't have become a cop. Like, I'm like, and this is from people who are probably more like think cops need reform and stuff, which I agree with that. I think policing needs police reform. We need to stop using police as like an end all be all for a lot of issues that are probably more so for like mental issues. So anyway, but I think people too many times people use real world applications and put into fiction. It's like, no, that's fiction. Like, the police aren't corrupt and shady, and I'm not saying all police are corrupt and shady. I don't want that. But there are definitely some. But police aren't like that in the they haven't been depicted as that in the Legend of Korra. Like, stop applying that to this. Or even like, oh, billionaires are bad, Bruce Wayne shouldn't exist. I'm like, this is a fictional, quit doing that. They're like, oh, he should be taxed at this amount. I'm like, have you seen the taxes in Gotham City? Show me the tax code in Gotham City you don't even know. Like, stop applying. We do too much applying real world things, like, and also like really obscure real world things to fiction. Like, let a story be a story. It's fiction for a reason. Anyway, that's my soapbox.
I think that as much as I would agree with, well, this is why I'm not in charge. As much as I would agree with, if I was a superhero, it would be a little tricky to have a no-kill rule, especially if we're in a world where superheroes are real, and therefore we know that villains always get out of jail in superhero things. Chris, that's ridiculous. They always escape.
But if I did the same thing they did and apply real-world things, I'll be like, well, why didn't the federal government... Why didn't he get federal charges? And why didn't they trial him sanely? Because they could. They could absolutely do that. Why didn't they execute him?
But
like after the fifth escape.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Somebody
he would be executed.
Somebody come down harder on that guy. But
yeah.
But I've always thought the no kill rule was like a beautiful gimmick for comic writing for like recurring villains.
I mean, I love it just I get what you're saying there, but I mean, I love it. So,
gimmick sounds demeaning out me to be demeaning at all. I was like, oh, no, it's a nice little function you got growing there. That's a well built in.
I was like, oh, no, villains have to fall to their deaths and you can't see them. That way they can come back.
Also, if we want to get like real world, if those people want to come chat with me, my master's degree thesis was on charity burnout. So people do charitable things and they burn out either emotionally or financially, because it turns out that if you don't make money, you cannot donate money. And you know what every charity needs, Chris? It needs your help, sure. Yeah, it needs your hands on. Absolutely. It needs your time, your energy. It needs money. And if you don't have money, statistics show you're out trying to make more money, not spend your time and energy helping charities. So there's plenty of logic to Batman running a successful company called Wayne Enterprises that does successful things and makes lots of money and then gives lots of that money, not the majority of it, but like company first and then huge chunks of money because he is running a great company. Higher dollar volume, even if it feels like a small dollar percentage, if that makes sense. If those people want to come chat with me about donor burnout, I've got references ready to go. I have to dig them up. That's been like a decade. That's our top five, Chris. I've got a handful of honorable mentions. I'll burn through mine first, so you can get a burn through yours, if that sounds all right. Bosco. He's just a bear. People like Bosco too much. Gazan, but...
He's also on the cover of that Magic.
The Magic Buy. Yeah, he got Magic Love, too, and it's like, he's just a bear. He's literally just a bear, which is the worst insult I can give. Gazan, but it doesn't have anything to do with his driving. It's actually just... I find lava bending the least interesting subtype. It's just a... I don't know why. I think it's
underused. Put your mic back down. Thank you. I keep doing that. I think it's underused because it's such a... They can't use it because it's such a violent bending. It's like, it's game over. Just touching,
yeah.
Something else. And so, yeah, I don't think it's utilized as much as it should be.
And I think it's not as a like precision control as I like my... It's not creative. It's just destructive. You know what I mean? So this is not interesting to me. Not that it's not powerful. this is going to sound mean. All of Lynn's children... they're fine. People don't talk about them too much. I just never care about any of them, even Opal, kind of, to be honest. And then I just put a note in here that I don't think anybody pretends that Ozai is the greatest villain in the world, except people who maybe watch Avatar but don't want to watch Korra or don't like Korra. And I just want to point to Ozai and be like, all right, well, that's your villain there. But if you come to Korra, this is what you can have. I don't think people really overrate Ozai. I don't think too many people are out there. It's like, he's amazing. It's like, well, no, not really. But get my point.
Yeah. My only honorable mention, at least so far, unless I look back here, is Bolin. Bolin, he's kind of Sokka light. And really, I really do not like Season 2 Bolin.
Season 2 Bolin, like, sucks. Yeah.
I like him in other things. I like Bolin. I do. I do really like Bolin.
You know, flip-flop, season one Mako, to kind of go against myself earlier. Season one Mako is a really good character, I feel like. Just a choppy bad. Okay. Season two, Bolin is bad. I think, like I said, I like where they both end up as characters. I just, the paths they use to get there.
I think I just think Bolin doesn't get enough hate. Like, for I don't think crap. I don't think anyone is like overrating him in much aspects, but he deserves like slightly more hate. Like, because I think he did some terrible thing. I think he acted terribly in book two. Like people complain about, like, and rightfully so, how Cora treated her father and Tenzin in a couple of episodes. I really agree with, especially early on. But the way Bolin treated Mako in season two, I'm just like, this. And I did hear something that maybe come around maybe a little bit too of just like Mako created. They're talking about the dynamics between Mako and Bolin, how Mako was such an adult, he created a environment in which Bolin was able to be positive, to have a certain naivety, and be trusting or believe in people. And it's like, oh, you know, okay, that's a cool idea, but he should have believed his brother or and stuff. Like, I hate that. I don't know how you would rewrite. I mean, it's probably honestly not that hard to rewrite it. I say this.
We probably did better when we did it. We probably did better.
But that, yeah. Bolin. Yeah.
I'm glad.
So that's really my only, honorable mention.
I'm really glad we took this with kind of different meanings. It made it interesting. Hey, that's I thought about throwing an animal on there as a fake. I thought about being like number one, Appa, and then no, just kidding. But just
man, overrated animal.
Oh, it couldn't be Appa. He's too functionally useful. It would probably have to be Momo. Like, it would have to be, if you're trying to like make it important probably, and make people mad.
Yeah, but like if you compare Pabu to Momo, Pabu is so much more incremental in helping them out, and Momo sometimes just like
Pabu follows commands,
yes,
like to a tee, intelligently.
Bring the ball in, like, cut the ropes, Pabu, cut the ropes, and Pabu's like, I got it, I got you, I'm cutting the ropes.
Partners in crime. Whereas meanwhile, Momo could have.
Katara's like, Momo, go get some water. Momo's like, okay, here's a crown.
Yeah,
probably would have got the water.
And it's not that we don't like Momo. It's just that if you're talking about a character that people really like and are building avatar decks out of him, there hasn't been a good airbending deck. But another thing for another time. Yeah, it would have to be Momo for sure. I think maybe Naga next. Like, she's useful, but not. Not Appa useful. You know, oh. Appa's like a cheat code.
I love Naga. Naga's such a huge. I would love to have a Naga. She looks so cuddly, and those big freaking paws up front, big huge arms, and just like a Great Dane body in the back.
I think Appa's just a cheat code. He's ridiculously useful because he can fly. And carry things.
Many people.
Outrageous, yeah. But anyway.
Every avatar should honestly just get a bison.
A dragon or a bison. Those are your choices.
But then you can't take your team avatar if you're like, hey, I need to take my team avatar to go solve a problem. The dragon's not going to help. You can take like maybe another person.
You don't think so?
I mean, I guess it depends how big the dragon is.
I think a dragon can haul around a couple people. It's not going to be as can't get a big like familial saddle on a dragon in the same way. No, but
yeah, but I mean the saddle looks like it holds two. Actually, wait, was he sitting on the saddle?
I don't think so. I think so. Roku's just, I think you're just sitting on like right behind the head.
Dragon had a set? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, the Dragon maybe can carry a little less, or it's a little less comfortable, but the extra combat from a Dragon?
I think Zuko's Dragon has a saddle. For some reason, that seems familiar to me. I remember him like packing stuff and getting ready to leave while when Corbin would go talk to him. So I think that Dragon has a saddle. And that Dragon's actually bigger than Roku's Dragon. Like, that Dragon was built. That Dragon hit the gym. Heavy chest.
That Dragon can carry Team Avatar for sure. It might be a little less comfortable because I think of it flying kind of like how a snake serpentines, right? So it's a little bumpy. Mm-hmm. But you get used to like the combat boons. No, if you're an Avatar, don't mess around with badger moles or whatever it is that water tribe people. Yeah, the dog. Just get a Dragon or a flying bison and call it a day.
Like, they gave Korra a flying bison and she had it once, and then she's like, I'm good.
It's flying scary. Flying's too useful. I don't want that. That's our overrated list. Next week we'll do underrated list. Very excited to talk about that. In the meantime, thanks for being here and watching. My name's Sean. That's my friend Chris Ford, a.k.a. The Objective Geek. I'll put all the stuff down in the description. If you could leave us any positive likes and thumbs up, subs, bells, positive reviews, all the good things, we appreciate it all. Thanks for your time today. We'll talk to you next time.